With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Friday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour Big Bang Barbecue. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Green Bay to Greensboro, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. These are challenging times. Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Thanks for being with us, everybody. DA here, and we have got a Friday show. Numero uno, the business at hand. It is a Target Demo Friday, which means it's all about where you're at, how you're listening. We want to learn from you guys, all of that information, and I'll read through those coming up here later on in the show. Two ways you can get me that information. Number one, on Twitter, my handle DA on CBS. Follow me there and tweet at me there, DA on CBS. Also on Facebook, the Facebook page is facebook.com/TheDA Show. So look for us there. Look for the Target Demo Friday memes and respond with what you're up to and how you're listening and what you're doing. And we'll read through those coming up here later on in the show. Otherwise, this morning, this is so cool. I'm so excited. Throughout this month and really last month, since it's now early April, we have highlighted a different hero or Cinderella team or national champion every day from March Madness. Yesterday, we looked at the 1989 national championship game. We've had so many cool stories here on the program throughout March, now early April. Today, we look at the 2003 national champions. Another thriller. This one was Syracuse over Kansas. You might remember, of course, Carmelo Anthony and his most outstanding player honors that year. But how about Jerry McNamara? The guy hit threes from all over the place that postseason, and McNamara had a huge first half to help lead the Orange Men at that time to the title. He's going to join us here on the show coming up in hour number four. Jerry McNamara, now an assistant coach for Syracuse, is going to join us for the Madness of March segment coming up later on. Also, if you're a baseball fan, one of the great characters of the game's history is Billy Martin. We all know, if you're of a certain age, the hirings, the firings, the off-the-field stuff, the Bronx Zoo, all of these kind of combustible, crazy moments. He was one of the greatest characters in baseball history. Well, he also had a stint in Oakland where he helped resurrect the Oakland A's. I know we're on in the Bay Area. We've got a lot of A's fans that listen on the West Coast. We've got Dale Tafoya this morning on the show, author of the book Billy Ball, Billy Martin and the Resurrection of the Swingin' A's. This, I'm sure, anecdotes chock full of crazy stories about Billy. We'll talk about this coming up here on the show a little bit later on with author Dale Tafoya as well. Elsewhere this morning on the show, Eli Apple's career, former first-round pick, maybe a little overbearing mommy thing, sliding sideways. We'll talk about where he is in his career. The greatest what-if ever, by the way, when it comes to, or one of them, the Jacksonville Jaguars right now of 2017, this close to a Super Bowl, and yet another piece of that team going to be leaving. We'll discuss that. A loophole for the Astros and the guys that got nailed in the cheating scandal. Who is the favorite right now in the AFC East after Brady leaves? And has everything flipped in Boston sports-wise? All of that coming up this morning here on the show. So here's your phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. So one thing that's kind of lost in the end of this basketball season, who knows if it is the end, but because we're not playing basketball right now and we're kind of looking ahead to the playoffs, if they get them in, when they get them in, is what happens with the NBA draft? What happens with an NBA draft that right now would be scheduled for June? We certainly won't have an NBA Finals by June. We might not have the end of the regular season by late June, and thus we wouldn't know who gets what pick in the NBA lottery. Now, this year is not quite like some other years where there's a LeBron James or a Zion Williamson, where you know number one pick and getting that number one pick is of the utmost importance. Right now, it would be the Golden State Warriors, right now. But who would be the number one overall pick? Well, the other day, the Warriors suggested that one of those potential number one picks, LaMelo Ball, wouldn't make sense for them. And I wondered about that when I heard that. It's kind of an unnecessary nugget to be floating out there. But I think from a Warriors perspective, maybe part of this, maybe a lot of this, might not just be the basketball redundancy of a guard here when you have the Splash Brothers hypothetically coming back together next year and for the future, but also how about off the field, off the court, off the floor for LaMelo Ball. Of course, LaMelo is the youngest of LaVar Ball's three kids, brother of Lonzo Ball, and LaMelo is probably the best prospect out of the three of them. Now, Lonzo went two, but in terms of all attention on you and what most teams would select, LaMelo might have the highest ceiling out of any of the three kids of the Ball family. But why would the Warriors not be interested in LaMelo Ball? Why would they want to go in a different direction? Would it only be because of they don't need another guard in their backcourt? Or is it something else? Is it potentially the off-the-field stuff, off-the-floor stuff? Because we now have this little nugget that LaMelo Ball's going to own a team. Yeah, the team that he played for in Australia, he is buying that team. Now, think about this. While most young teen, early, late teens, early 20-somethings that are going into the NBA would have basketball on their mind, would have the transition to the NBA on their mind, would have trying to make sure that perhaps their finances are under control because, of course, there's going to be a million people that are grabbing at it. There's going to be a pretty dramatic transition to that, you would think. LaMelo Ball instead right now is going to buy a team. LaMelo, not LaVar, not Lonzo, LaMelo Ball is going to enter the NBA draft and have bought a professional basketball team. Here's my question. This morning when you hear something like the Warriors are just not interested, does it make you already wonder that we should be worried about LaMelo Ball in the NBA and he hasn't even gotten there yet? It is Where We Begin, your cold open.
The reason I have him at the top of the draft is because, in the simplest of terms, I think he's got the best potential to be a star of anybody who's going to be available. He's a 6'7 point guard who has obviously tremendous size for his position. He's an incredible ball handler, incredible playmaker, incredible passer. In fact, I think he's the best playmaker and passer available in the 2020 NBA draft.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, Park Grundy!
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
All right, so that is Gary Parrish, CBS Sports College basketball analyst, discussing the potential draft position of LaMelo Ball. And again, if a lot of people believe that Ball has the best potential to be a star in this draft, for the Warriors to say no thanks, you wonder how much that is connected to his other stuff, non-basketball stuff. So the manager for LaMelo Ball has said publicly, we've purchased this Australian NBL team together. This is the team that LaMelo played for. He's got a connection in the community. He wants to do this. He wants to buy this. And his manager is called Jermaine Jackson, yes, and said, we own the team. It's a done deal. And yet the league has said that is not true yet. There's been discussions, but there's no final approval. And so it just makes you wonder, okay, are these things always going to surround a Ball kid? And, you know, we had Lonzo trying to scrub the big Baller Brand tattoo that he had, throwing out his big Baller Brand stuff, clearly being frustrated with how his dad kind of managed his finances and what happened with the Ball family business, I suppose you would call it. And now you have this type of thing. I just think that it's really hard right now to trust that you could draft LaMelo Ball, that he would be a quote-unquote star, and it wouldn't come with a million different things. And I think the Warriors have learned what culture means over the last 5-6 years. I think the Warriors have seen what it means to have everybody on the same page, not have alpha males or lone wolves, rather, not have guys pulling in a different direction, because that's kind of what happened with the end of their dynasty last season with KD and Draymond Green. When there was friction there, it drove them off the side of the road, and there was a lot of having to mend fences. And I think that the Warriors are very cognizant of this. I think Steph obviously is a great team guy, a great attitude guy. I think Klay is as well. Draymond's been a hothead, but has been a team guy by and large. Steve Kerr understands what it takes because he was in San Antonio, because he was in Chicago. He sees what culture means day in, day out. And I just think there's a big question mark about culture when it comes to bringing in LaMelo Ball. Yes, it might be a basketball thing, but just a bigger picture here. We're not even into the NBA draft, and there's already off-the-floor questions about, does LaMelo Ball own a basketball team? Now, does he need to own a basketball team at 20 years old? 20 years old? He's got to own a basketball team already? It just feels like there's always this, that if it's not LeVar, it's a manager, it's an off-the-court interest, and if you're the number one pick in the draft, you've got to be solely focused on the basketball. On the basketball. And this is a kid buying a team, even if he's not really the one that is his manager. Is his manager the right guy alongside him as he transitions to the NBA? I think there's just always so many question marks about one of the Ball family members that the Warriors are already sniffing that out. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. It should be noted that LaMelo Ball's season ended with a foot injury in the Australian Basketball League as well, so there's that. He was averaging 17-7-7 before the injury. Mraz, what do you think? Would you be scared off from drafting LaMelo Ball number one if you're the Warriors? Forget basketball fit, but just because they always seem to come with something else.
Yeah, look, if you're the Warriors, you have to trust that you have now built enough of a culture with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green that, kind of like the Patriots in the NFL, you can handle anything. But on the flip side, the Balls are just a brand new animal. Now, obviously, LeVar not kind of really being in the situation in New Orleans now the way he was in L.A. helps me feel a little better, but you also have to realize the Warriors are in California. So if LaMelo now goes number one, and here's LeVar back in the picture again, you're already seeing LaMelo now with his managers going out of their way to focus on other things like buying this Australia Basketball League. I guess I would be scared on the fact that I'm close enough to home to have LeVar continue to intervene. But at the same time, I do look at what happened in New Orleans and realize maybe we are finally, hopefully, as on a professional level, getting past the balls just being in our face and focusing on other things once the time comes to be drafted and the task is at hand.
Yeah, it kind of depends on the kid, because it feels like Lonzo did always want basketball above everything else and wanted to distance himself from LeVar and kind of did so in the Big Baller Brand. But if he's one of the sons, LaMelo, that likes that type of thing, that also has dollar bills in his eyes and is kind of dreaming of world domination, buying teams, buying leagues, business this, business that, like his dad did or does, you know, he might be prone to be distracted. I mean, if you're the number one pick of the draft, you are expected to be a star in this league. I don't know if I can trust having the focus and discipline to do that if you're already worried about and connected to a shady manager buying a professional basketball team before you've ever stepped foot into the NBA, you know?
Yeah, and that's why it's got to be about culture. I can't hammer that home enough. And also, if you're the Warriors, let's say you do win the lottery and you do get the number one pick and you don't trade back and you hold on to it and you draft LaMelo. And when I cite culture, I mean this. Next year is going to be an enormous year for the Warriors, right? Everything that wasn't supposed to be, like people thought even without Durant, if Klay Thompson came back, they got D'Angelo Russell before he was traded, they could still compete. If they got Klay back before the playoffs, who knows? I mean, that was a Warrior team that did get to a finals, did win one before Kevin Durant arrived. So you would think all systems are a go for that team next year, trying to pack that Chase Center, that new palace they have. Do they want, as they get in a room with all these champions, guys with rings, including Steve Kerr, the coach, is it a good look for their number one pick, the guy who's supposed to now help them kind of fill that void of Kevin Durant finally, even though they're way different players, obviously different positions? Is it a good look to have him, you know, combing through his phone, seeing what the finances are looking like in buying a team in Australia? I don't think so.
It just feels like that's a huge commitment / responsibility that even if you pass it off to somebody else, you're already the front man or the money man for buying a professional team. That just feels like already you're on a slippery slope. We'll take your phone calls, 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. For the last couple of years, we have openly wondered if Eli Apple's career was doomed to go sideways for off-the-field reasons. It feels like that today. News on the former number one draft pick coming up here next. First-round draft pick coming up here next. It's a Target Demo Friday. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
So what is it?
880.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Absolutely. I knew something was flawed. 1100, get out of here. I mean, we've heard this guy speak.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's time to ask the pros today, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question, pick a question, any question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Tweet at me, at DA on CBS. You can use the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later on in the show when we'll answer that question. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Tell your smart speaker, play CBS Sports Radio. Wake up with us every single day. Get your day started by telling your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. And you can have us on around the house with you, since there's a lot of time at the house these days. Spend 4 hours a day with us. And you can also tell your smart speaker to play the Permission Granted podcast, which is the podcast, the show about the show within the show. Boy, when I saw this story about Eli Apple yesterday, I smiled a smile for one Sean Mraz. The Thick-tator, the Prince of Puffiness, the Kaiser of Calories, has been all over, draped all over Eli Apple for years now. He was a first-round pick out of Ohio State. for the New York Giants. 10th overall, a corner out of Ohio State. 10th overall with the New York Giants. And his Giants career was kind of checkered with embarrassing moments, being questioned by coaches and teammates, his mother also complaining that he wasn't getting the right treatment, that Eli was getting better treatment. And I talk about Eli Manning, the two Elis, Eli Apple, Eli Manning. His mom, Eli Apple, took a job as a Today Show correspondent, I believe, as a mom in sports his rookie season, and immediately started kind of telling tales out of school on her son's career and how things were going on behind closed doors. Well, yesterday, the news is that as a free agent, Eli Apple was thought to have signed a contract with the Raiders. However, Adam Schefter reports those talks somehow evaporated, and Eli Apple, who played last season with the Saints, remains a free agent. Eli Apple had agreed to a one-year deal with the Raiders on the day after St. Paddy's Day, March the 18th, and that he had posted on Instagram he was excited to start a new journey as a Raider. But hours after that, it appeared that the Raiders reached an agreement with a different defensive back, Demarius Randall, on a one-year deal. This was just hours after the news came down yesterday that he was not a member of the Raiders. So it's a bizarre situation where he thought he was signed, maybe the Raiders thought he was signed, maybe something happened in the background that made it fall through, but now Eli Apple is once again a free agent, and he never lived up to the hype of being the number 10 pick overall. He's had a serviceable career, bounced around to a couple of different teams. But Mraz, I'm sure there was a smile that crept across your face yesterday when once again Eli Apple's headlines were for the wrong reasons.
It never ends. Nobody has this cloud of just bad luck created by themselves like Eli Apple. And just to clarify a couple of things, his mom took a job with ESPN on Sunday Countdown that she going to be a correspondent. And if you remember, in his rookie year, that was the year where Odell Beckham on the Giants kind of had that blow up in Minnesota on the sidelines where not a lot of people knew about it. Maybe some cameras caught about it. And she completely blew up the spot that Giants coaches weren't doing anything to handle Odell Beckham. And that really put the magnifying glass in the eye on the fact that the Giants couldn't control Odell Beckham. It was all leaked by her. And Eli Apple was called into the Giants office and said, "Hey, you got to tell your mom or stop giving your mom info or she's not getting any access here. What the heck are you doing with your mom?" He was also, remember, he was the prospect that when he came out in the NFL draft, before he was even drafted, people had questions about him because when they asked about his home cooking, he only knew how to make Hot Pockets.
That's right.
That was like, wait, what? Why is that a negative? And we kind of laughed at why would that even be a negative, but clearly there was something there with his mom. We talk about satellite parents and all of that. His mother has completely used his son's potential success to get where she wanted to be and get where she had to be. I am currently blocked on Twitter by Annie Apple.
Oh, my.
She hates my guts because we have sparred on this. I couldn't take it. But he's completely shown immaturity, and that's what she installed. When he was in a fight with coaches and went to get benched in 2017 in that year that really unraveled with Ben McAdoo, when asked by reporters, instead of standing up there and taking the questions like any mature at that point player a couple years into his career would do, he said, quote, "I got to take a bleep. I got to take a bleep," and he walked away. And that's how he walked away from reporters.
Told me that in the middle of a production meeting, but that's not supposed to be the right answer in an NFL locker room trying to answer questions about your coach.
In an NFL locker room. And now, do you want better? He gets to New Orleans, D.A., and I hate to do the oral history of Eli Apple.
Well, this is important because I don't think a lot of listeners realize the step-by-step of Eli Apple.
Right. So he ends up getting traded when the Giants have that whole blow-up thing. Things go awry. This is a guy that just doesn't fit. The Saints acquire him, and people are thinking, okay, great locker room fit here. Eli Apple from Ohio State goes with guys like Marshawn Lattimore, Michael Thomas. He fits in with the Ohio State brand that's in New Orleans. So he kind of gets a little bit of a rebirth culture-wise. The problem with the rebirth culture-wise is his playing ability, he still was awful to the point where he was absolutely the worst starter on the New Orleans defense. Last year, D.A., the New Orleans Saints finished 13-3. They don't get a bye. They have a great year. But they finished one game, or all they needed to do was win one more game to get themselves in a bye. Maybe, and obviously, they wouldn't be eliminated wild card weekend. And who knows what happens? Maybe Drew Brees gets to that Super Bowl. The problem is they play the 49ers in what becomes a game literally for the one seed. Eli Apple takes 11 penalties in that game.
Oh,
11 penalties. He's
no,
atrocious.
In one game?
One game. You could look up. It is. New Orleans fans crush him for it. It is the Eli Apple disaster game in New Orleans. A very underrated part of what was one of the best games of the NFL year was how big of a net negative Eli Apple was in that game. If Eli Apple, forget not taking the penalties. If Eli Apple just isn't on the field that day, the Saints might have a bye. The trajectory could be changed. The Saints could have ended up in the Super Bowl. That's how negatively impacted Eli Apple was in the team. And the moment the Giants released another corner was a problem. Janoris Jenkins, who was the first team to sign him? The Saints, because they needed a starter to take away snaps from Eli Apple. And I think the Raiders probably realized this. Mike Mayock realized it. You know what? If we can get a better option here between all the problems that come with his mother and all the on-field problems that come with Eli Apple, this is a guy that is bust, 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 and more bust.
So he's had a job. That's good. He's got size. He's got length. So he's had a job for, what, five seasons in the NFL, four seasons, something like that.
Right.
He was part of a good team last year, a very good team with the Saints the last 2 years. But as you said, he's been so inconsistent on the field, and that has felt very part and parcel, very synonymous with what he is off the field, which is at times a really bad attitude, worrying about what his mom is going to do, worrying about where his headspace is at, worrying if you've got to coddle him. And then at the end with the Giants, I mean, you could not trust him with a microphone because he was just ready to rag on anybody. And his teammates in front office really didn't like him. And you really do wonder if he was cursed in some ways by having a mom that wanted to have her fingerprints all over his career. And as a top 10 pick with the size and speed that he does have, this guy's career now, it just falls through at the middle of nowhere. The Raiders are like, oh, we've got a better option. It does make you wonder how many red flags are there around Eli, around this NFL with his executives.
Yeah, without question. And think about all the success stories that have come out of Ohio State and the NFL. I mean, you run down the list. I mean, I just told you about Lattimore and Michael Thomas and Zeke Elliott. And the list, I mean, how many of these defensive, the Boses, now Chase Young. Ohio State has no problem producing first-round NFL talent. More times than not, you take a guy out of Ohio State in the first round. Even if they're not the greatest player in the world, they are going to produce for you. And Eli Apple is the worst of any of those guys to come out in the last 5 years.
Thought he had a deal with the Raiders? Sorry, don't have a deal. 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Standing by is a kind sir to this Friday morning. He has our headlines. His name is Andrew Bogish. Good morning, Andrew.
DA, good morning. This report is sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. The NFL ruffled a few feathers this week when General Counsel Jeff Pasch said they're planning on starting the season on time in September. Some thought Pasch was tone-deaf and ignoring the current trajectory of our little pandemic. The NFL's chief medical officer, Alan Sills, has done a follow-up interview with NFL.com. He says starting on time with fans is obviously best-case scenario. For it to happen, widespread coronavirus testing would need to be accessible. And then there's the baseball season, hoping to begin as soon as possible. Yankee reliever Zach Britton told MLB Network Radio on SiriusXM yesterday, all options being explored, including playing at neutral sites.
There's four or five sites that are kind of up in the air that, you know, teams of, you know, MLB and the union, you know, maybe have slightly discussed about, you know, hey, these are spots that, you know, have the resources and the facilities and, you know, the hotels or whatever to host a major league team. You know, if we get to that point.
Before saying that, Britton said, I probably shouldn't tell you this, but we have discussed these four or five neutral sites.
One of the qualifications was who has enough hotels? Doesn't every baseball market have enough hotels for two baseball teams and the assembled media?
I would guess, unless they're talking about going down to spring training where, you know, some sites you just kind of bus in and then leave as you're the visiting team. But anyway, I mean, man, I'm glad they're being creative, but can you imagine watching a real, like, Mets, Nationals, NL East showdown in Port St. Lucie at some time in, like, September?
Yes, unfortunately I can, because if you don't have fans there, the smaller the stadium, the smaller the facility makes the most sense. And playing that game, you know, playing Giants Dodgers in Chavez Ravine with zero fans makes a lot less sense than playing it at Dodger Town or playing it at a spring training site in Peoria. It just does. It's Scottsdale. Yeah,
and the point being here is teams that play in cities that still may be finishing their fight with coronavirus would move to these neutral sites like New York here with the Mets and the Yankees. Now, back in the NFL, Tua Tagovailoa volunteered for a medical recheck yesterday. A doctor found by NFL team physicians performed it, and Tua's camp says everything looked great. All 32 teams get the results. This is all that teams and prospects can do right now since they can't meet in person. And teams can actually dictate what tests are done on individual players to get the specific information that they're looking for. Titans running back Derrick Henry signed his $10.2 million franchise tag tender yesterday, but talks on a long-term deal continue. The Jaguars gave their franchise tag to defensive end Yannick Ngakoue. He'd still like to be traded. Jacksonville apparently wants at least a first-round pick for him, and will remind you that they hung on to Jalen Ramsey and eventually got two number ones for
right.
him.
Two number ones for Ramsey. Can you believe the Rams gave up two number ones? Oh, my goodness.
The Saints have re-signed cornerback P.J. Williams. The Bucs re-signing Blaine Gabbert. He'll be Tom Brady's backup. And Yahoo Sports says the Chiefs and Sammy Watkins have restructured the wideout's contract for this season. Watkins somehow had the highest cap hit on the team for 2020. Now he'll make $9 million plus maybe $7 million more through incentives, creating $5 million in much-needed cap space. The Ivy League is not completely following the NCAA's decision to restore this year of eligibility for spring sports athletes. The Ancient Eight will not change its rules and allow grad students to play. So current seniors have two options. They can withdraw from school right now and then finish their senior year in the next academic year, allowing them to play that year, or they can transfer and play somewhere else next year. Columbia grad transfer Patrick Tape has decommitted from Duke after just 9 days. Syracuse now said to be in play for the 6'10" Tape. And Dayton's Anthony Grant and South Carolina's Dawn Staley are the Naismith National Coaches of the Year, Player of the Year awards handed out at noon Eastern today. DA, back to you.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. When we come back, this date in mothership history. Yesterday, we had Danica Patrick join us on the show, and I had to publicly apologize for Mraz showing a picture of himself and nothing but a Speedo to her boyfriend, Aaron Rodgers, 3 years ago at the Final Four, which caused the Get Away From Me Buddy incident. When we come back, this date in mothership history takes us back to that day when Mraz posted a picture in front of Aaron Rodgers of himself basically naked. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Value, big upside.
I apologize on behalf of this show for you and Aaron if it has caused any stress, because you know, it couldn't have been easy to have to witness that.
You know, we've had to deal with that a lot, so I'm going to go put that to rest now. Thank you for that.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Danica knows the picture of Mraz and a Speedo shown to Aaron Rodgers has caused a lot of stress in that relationship. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote at geico.com. That's easy. The DA show is available in podcast form. If you miss anything, want to hear it again, want to binge, listen. Full 4 hours of the show available every single day in podcast form. The best of the show every single day also available there. And the PGP, the show about the show within the show, and this week, a very special WrestleMania preview PGP done by Pete the Body Bellotti and his cast of thousands, all big wrestling fans getting ready for WrestleMania, which begins tomorrow and carries through Sunday, has gotten so much positive attention, a lot of really cool feedback. So check that out, available on our podcast feed as well if you are a wrestling fan, or even if you just want to hear Pete the Body host an entire podcast by himself. It's good stuff. I'm laughing, I'm chuckling, because I can't wipe the image out of my mind of what Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA.com, posted yesterday in GIF form, which was Mraz in that pink Speedo, oiled up with birdseed poured all over him and nothing but that Speedo, a Giants knit winter cap and sneakers, falling to the ground in Central Park out of fatigue, I suppose. But he just lands his big rumpus right on the ground, then rolls onto his back. And it is such a prone position to be in nothing but a Speedo. It's so disconcerting. So what happened here? Well, 3 years ago in 2017, the Giants and the Packers played in the wild card round. Mraz was so confident that the Giants would win this game. We had Jolton Joe DeLuisio, a big Packers fan, who was also working on the show at the time. And Mraz said, I am so confident. I will bet that the Giants win this game. I will bet anything. I will do anything. And we said, anything? He said, anything. So we opened it up to the listeners. And the listeners gave us this idea of dressing in a Speedo, pouring birdseed all over your body, and letting the birds peck at you in Central Park. So this happened in, I guess, March sometime, mid-March. Anyway, we waited until the ground thawed. So we're at the Final Four, and we see Aaron Rodgers at a Scottsdale drinking establishment. We're out there having a few cocktails, myself, Mraz, Kenny Brock of the Wheels of Steel, and some other media brethren that we are friends with are out, and there is Aaron Rodgers. Well, the rest is history. It's time for this date in Mothership history.
Come one, come all, step inside. It's this date in Mothership history.
On this date, 2017, Aaron Rodgers told Mraz, get away from me, buddy.
Mraz had a couple of pops at dinner and a couple more during the night of this place. And as the night kind of continues and we're outside and we're maybe 20 feet from Aaron Rodgers. And again, this is not some uppity, highfalutin party where Aaron Rodgers is kind of like cordoned off from the public with a VIP band and stuff like that. He just... at the bar, there's not a ton of people at the bar. He's hanging out. We're looking at Aaron Rodgers consistently. And Mraz, his blood starts boiling.
Yeah, I really start thinking about the reason I ended up in Central Park naked, half naked, in a Speedo with birdseed. And I start thinking, this is the guy that carved up the Giants. This is the guy that caused this to me. And he's sitting here acting like it's no big deal.
And so Mraz, after like eight beers, says to me, you know, I wouldn't have had to go in that Speedo if it wasn't for that guy right there. Aaron Rodgers, you're mad about this? You're like, yeah, I am kind of bothered by this. I'm like, all right. So then you go get another round, come back, and the blood starts to boil a little bit more.
I'm racking up the yardage, as they say, with the pops.
And then by the 10th beer or so, I'm like, you know, if you're so mad about this, you should really go over there and say something to him. So I encourage you to go over to Aaron Rodgers, who's standing over on his side. We pull up my phone, YouTube, and then I pull up the episode and cue it up to the moment where Mraz is looking at his most defeated. And he just looks miserable, cold, Giants beanie hat on, the Crisco's on him. He's glistening in a pink Speedo with bird seed, and he just looks absolutely beaten and defeated. And I'm like, you got to show him this. So you're like, all right, I'm going over there. What transpired?
Aaron Rodgers, after his friend rolled his eyes at me.
Because what was the first thing you said to him?
I said, I walked up to him very politely. I said, Aaron, excuse me, I'm not here to take a picture. I'm not here for any kind of autograph. I just need to show you something.
Uh-huh.
The friend rolls his eyes at me, and Rodgers kind of turns his head like, what's going on here?
He never says anything.
Doesn't say a word.
Okay.
I point at the phone, and I say, I'm a Giant fan, and because you guys beat us in the playoffs, this is what I had to do. And he looks down at the picture of me, gut-hanging, pink Speedo, in disgust, looks down, looks his eyes up and goes, get away from me, buddy.
Get away from me, buddy.
And he uses the buddy so sarcastically, and the look he gave, the look of just sheer, disgust and disappointment, like I had just ruined his night. By the way, left about 10 minutes after that as well, should be noted. I was so, like, obviously angry and upset at the same time that I had no choice but to just turn around, tail between my legs, and come back to you guys.
It is one of the great moments in DA show history. Aaron Rodgers infamously calling out Mraz and saying, get away from me, buddy. And what is great about all of that is that I had done the Nomad episode on the Pink Speedo Day in Central Park. So you can watch the entirety of how this thing goes down. There are people in Central Park gawking and laughing, tourists pointing at Mraz running away from the geese, running away from the birds in Central Park. And there is a shot of him sitting on the ground. His Buddha belly is just pouring over this Speedo. And he has this look of complete defeat on his face. Like, I can't believe I'm here. When does this end? And that's the picture that Aaron Rodgers saw. And what is a great little anecdote here about this is that he was in seemingly such a good mood that night. He was talking to a bunch of people, and Mraz said, you know, I should go over there. And I encouraged him, yeah, you know what, you should. And Kenny Brock said, yeah, you know, you should. Knowing that, of course, full well, this could end up in a flaming disaster. But I did think if you set it up and framed it well enough, Rodgers would get a good laugh that he caused you to do that. But it proved that he actually had no sense of humor for that, even though I would have thought he would take joy and glee in knowing that you're a Giants fan and he caused that.
I have relived that moment over and over in my head. And just to further paint the picture, Kenny Brock, who was a longtime Wheels of Steel member of the early days of the DA show, who was on that trip with another job, he had basically done the version of what Jim Harbaugh would do to Alex Smith to pump him up for a game. He'll bang on his shoulder pads and everything. And that was basically, I was Alex Smith in that spot. Brock fired me up to go over there. And obviously, I had quite a few beers to kind of relax me. But what really still bothers me in hearing that clip is we can't gloss over it. Aaron Rodgers had an older friend with him who had no problem with any women coming over and talking to him. Remember, we had found out that was probably right around the time Olivia Munn and him had broken up, and we didn't know that publicly at the time.
Right.
There were plenty of women hanging out. This pre-Danica around it. When that friend saw me come over, wrinkled Old Navy button down, breath reeking of Corona, holding my phone, so immediately they probably thought I was going to ask for a selfie, which is not even, and I right away killed. I said, this is not what I'm here for. That friend's eye roll to me still gives me a chest pain.
Really?
When I see his face, I can picture it today. It's like this, oh, you got to be kidding me. What do you want now, this fat slob? What do you want now? And I was looked down upon, and it really just bothered me because, again, we saw Rodgers be chummy with people we know that he definitely didn't know. And there it was. And also an anecdote to that night is who was actually cool with us. Chip Kelly was in the same bar.
Was very cool to us.
And Chip Kelly, I don't know if he was there by himself, if he didn't have friends, but Chip Kelly for a large part of the night ended up standing in a circle drinking beers with us, and he was totally fine. I could have shown him the naked picture. I'm sure he would have loved it.
Yeah, Chip Kelly said to me multiple times that night, we've met before. And I said, we have not met Chip. We have definitely not met. He goes, no, we've definitely met before. And I said, I would know if I met Chip Kelly. You wouldn't know if you met me, but I definitely would remember meeting Chip Kelly. And I'm convinced that he only had recognized my face from NFL films and Top 10. I just think that he's seen it so many times. He's like, oh, I must know this guy. But no, we never met. But yeah, Chip Kelly was super nice. And Aaron Rodgers, I really thought that Rodgers would be the type of guy with a wry sense of humor. Oh, I made you embarrass yourself. Oh, I like that. But I thought totally wrong. I pegged that completely wrong. I did not think you were going to get a buddy out of it.
Yeah, it was brutal. I will never forget the day I was called buddy. Screw him.
3 years ago on this date, we relived Get Away From Me, Buddy, because it had happened the night before. So last night, 3 years ago, was when Get Away From Me, Buddy happened at a Scottsdale bar at the Final Four. When we return, are the Jaguars one of the greatest what-ifs ever? It continues to show us why next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.